Crooks, the Negro stable buck, had his bunk in the harness room, a little shed that leaned off the wall of the barn. On one side of the little room, there was a square four-paned window, and on the other, a narrow plank door leading into the barn. Crooks's bunk was a long box filled with straw, on which his blankets were flung. On the wall by the window, there were pegs on which hung broken harness in process of being mended, strips of new leather, and under the window itself, a little bench for leather-working tools, curved knives and needles and balls of linen thread, and a small hand riveter. On pegs were also pieces of harness, a split collar with the horsehair stuffing sticking out, a broken hame, and a trace chain with its leather covering split. Crooks had his apple box over his bunk, and in it a range of medicine bottles, both for himself and for the horses. There were cans of saddle soap and a drippy can of tar, with its paintbrush sticking over the edge, and scattered about the floor were a number of personal possessions, for being alone, Crooks could leave his things about, and being a stable buck and a cripple, he was more permanent than the other men, and he had accumulated more possessions than he could carry on his back. Crooks possessed several pairs of shoes, a pair of rubber boots, a big alarm clock, and a single-barreled shotgun. He had books, too, a tattered dictionary and a mauled copy of the California Civil Code for 1905. There were battered magazines and a few dirty books on a special shelf over his bunk. A pair of large gold-rimmed spectacles hung from a nail on the wall over his bed. This room was swept and fairly neat, for Crooks was a proud, aloof man. He kept his distance and demanded that other people keep theirs. His body was bent over to the left by his crooked spine, and his eyes lay deep in his head, and because of their depth, seemed to glitter with intensity. His lean face was lined with deep, black wrinkles, and he had thin, pain-tightened lips, which were lighter than his face. It was Saturday night. Through the open door that led into the barn came the sound of moving horses, of feet stirring, of teeth champing on hay, of the rattle of halter chains. In the stable buck's room, a small electric globe threw a meager yellow light. Crooks sat on his bunk. His shirt was out of his jeans in the back. In one hand, he held a bottle of liniment, and with the other, he rubbed his spine. Now and then he poured a few drops of the liniment into his pink-palmed hand and reached up under his shirt to rub again. He flexed his muscles against his back and shivered. Noiselessly, Lenny appeared in the open doorway and stood there looking in, his big shoulders nearly filling the opening. For a moment, Crooks did not see him, but on raising his eyes, he stiffened and a scowl came on his face. His hand came out from under his shirt. Lenny smiled helplessly in an attempt to make friends. Crooks said sharply, "You got no right to come in my room. This is my room. Nobody got any right in here but me." Lenny gulped, and his smile grew more fawning. "I ain't doing nothing," he said. "Just come to look at my puppy, and I seen your light," he explained. "Well, I got a right to have a light. You go on, get out of my room. I ain't wanted in the bunkhouse. You ain't wanted in my room."
"Why ain't you wanted?"
Lenny asked. "'Cause I'm black. They play cards in there, but I can't play 'cause I'm black. They say I stink. Well, I tell you, y'all stink to me." Lenny flapped his big hands helplessly.
"Everybody went into town," he said. "Slim and George and everybody. George says I gotta stay here and not get in no trouble.
I seen your light."
"Well, what do you want?"
"Nothing. I seen your light. I thought I could just come in and set." Crooks stared at Lenny, and he reached behind him and took down the spectacles and adjusted them over his pink ears and stared again. "I don't know what you're doing in the barn anyway," he complained. "You ain't no skinner. No call for a bucker to come in the barn at all. You ain't no skinner. You ain't got nothing to do with horses."
"The pup," Lenny repeated. I come to see my pup.
Well, go see your pup then. Don't come in a place where you ain't wanted.
Lenny lost his smile. He advanced a step into the room, then remembered and back to the door again.
I looked at him a little. Slim says I ain't to pet him very much,
Crook said. Well, you been taking him out of that nest all the time. Wonder the old lady don't move him someplace else.
Oh, she don't care. She lets me.
Lenny had moved into the room again. Crook scowled, but Lenny's disarming smile defeated him.
Come on in and sit a while, Crook said. Long as you won't get out and leave me alone, might as well sit down.
His tone was a little more friendly.
All the boys going to town, huh?
All but old Candy. He just sits in the bunkhouse sharpening his pencil and sharpening and figuring.
Crooks adjusted his glasses.
Figuring? Who's Candy figuring about?
Lenny almost shouted.
About the rabbits.
You're nuts,
said Crooks.
You're crazy as a wedge. What rabbits you talking about?
The rabbits we're going to get. And I get to tend them and cut grass and give them water and like that.
Just nuts, said Crooks. I don't blame that guy you travel with for keeping you out of sight,
Lenny said quietly.
It ain't no lie. We're going to do it. Going to get a little place and live off the fat of the land.
Crooks settled himself more comfortably on his bunk.
Sit down, he invited. Sit down on the nail keg.
Lenny hunched down on the little barrel.
Well, you think it's a lie,
Lenny said.
But it ain't no lie. Every word's the truth. You can ask George.
Crooks put his dark chin into his pink palm.
You travel around with George, don't you?
Sure. Me and him goes every place together,
Crooks continued.
Sometime he talks, and you don't know what the hell he's talking about. Ain't that so?
He leaned forward, boring Lenny with his deep eyes.
Ain't that so?
Yeah, sometimes.
Just talks on and you don't know what the hell it's all about.
Yeah, sometimes, but not always.
Crooks leaned forward over the edge of the bunk.
I ain't a southern Negro, he said. I was born right here in California. My old man had a chicken ranch, about 10 acres. The white kids come and play at our place, and sometimes I went to play with them. Some of them was pretty nice. My old man didn't like that. I never knew till long later why he didn't like that, but I know now.
He hesitated, and when he spoke again, his voice was softer. There wasn't another colored family for miles around. Now there ain't a colored man on this ranch, and there's just one family in Soledad. He laughed.
If I say something, why, it's just a nigger saying it.
Lenny asked,
how long you think it'll be before them pups will be old enough to pet?
Crooks laughed again.
A guy can talk to you and be sure you won't go blabbing. Couple of weeks and them pups will be all right. George knows what he's about. Just talks, and you don't understand nothing.
He leaned forward excitedly.
This is just nigger talking. A busted back nigger, so it don't mean nothing, see? You couldn't remember it anyways. I seen it over and over. Guy talking to another guy, it don't make no difference if he don't hear or understand. Thing is, they're talking. Well, they're sitting still not talking. Don't make no difference. No difference.
His excitement had increased until he pounded his knee with his hand.
George can tell you screwy things and it don't matter. It's just the talking. It's just being with another guy, that's all.
He paused.